So what is the oldest magazine in Australia that's still in publication? Well, would you believe that it's a kids' magazine? It's called The School Magazine, and it has been issued by the New South Wales Department of Education. First issue going all the way back to February 1916. Today, the kids get a copy every month, I think it is. Well, let's find out more. Let me fact check all of that with Rowan Simpkin, retired primary school teacher, avid reader and volunteer at the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. Rowan, welcome back.
Thank you, Paula.
So tell me more about the school magazine. So it's one of the longest running kids magazines in the world?
In the world. It is the longest running kids magazine in the world. It's been going continuously since 1916.
Why did they start up this the school magazine in 1916? What was its goals back then?
Well, I think to get children to see different types of literature, lots of poetry, but it also included music. There were scores in there as well. There were lots of poems. There was information about other countries, other colonies.
Oh, the colonies.
The colonies.
Oh. So when we're talking anthems and music and what kind of music?
Yes. Well, there's even the Russian national anthem in there. I don't know why, but very patriarchal. Things like Australia Forever. But a lot of it was very English. There was Rudyard Kipling, Longfellow, Wordsworth, Thomas Hardy, all those very British. Shakespeare, of course.
It was about empire, wasn't it?
It was very much about the empire, and it was very formal. Of course, schools didn't have all the books and magazines and texts that we have in our schools in Australia today. So it was meant partly as their reading program. And in fact, a lot of the stories have each paragraph is numbered so that the teacher could say to them, go to paragraph 5. So I think that a lot of their reading program, how they learnt to read, was through these magazines.
So the magazine was school curriculum, was it?
I think it was a support for the literacy programs, yes.
Wow. Yeah. So we're talking about the school magazine that was issued by the New South Wales Department of Education. It's been going for over 100 years. And so have you actually got copies of the early editions, have you, Rowan?
Yes. National Centre for Australian Children's Literature has all the copies since 1916 bound in this beautiful red volumes, which weren't very thick in 1916, but in 2016...
Oh, they got thicker.
...are a huge document.
So how do you feel, as someone who used to be a school teacher and someone who's so involved in children's literature, how do you feel when you look through these, you know, going right back to the start of this, these old editions?
Well, the reading levels are very high, but that is probably because that's all they read. So they were reading these by rote every day in the classroom. But for example, this one, the first one says, to the boys and girls, how fast you are growing up. Only a short time ago you began to go to school and now you are starting in your third class. Do you remember your first day at school? What a strange building the schoolhouse was. Do you remember how strange those little black marks in the book looked? Those little black marks that the teacher called words. You wondered how the older girls and boys that you heard reading got such interesting stories from those black marks.
It's your face. Oh, your face. You just rolled your eyes then. Why were you rolling your eyes after reading that excerpt? So that was from 1916.
That was from 1916, the first edition for year three. Pretty boring. It was very white, British Empire. That's who it was designed for.
Yes.
And it had its purpose. It was really good that schools had access to stories and to quality literature, but it didn't tell the story of Australia. Yeah. It told the story of the empire.
When did it start to change in your view, Rowan? When did it start telling the Australian story?
Probably in the 50s, 60s, with a lot of migration, particularly from Europe. There was a change there. And in fact, we did a bit of a research paper when it turned 100, and a lot of migrants learnt to read English and speak English through these. Their children brought these magazines home and they were able to read them and go over them and learn the words and learn more about what Australia was like.
How interesting.
So I've got the 1972 edition, which was when I was in primary school. And there were still English stories, but they were also by Australian authors like Margaret Mahe, Lilith Norman, Mary Gilmore was in there, but there was people like Walter de la Mare and Hans Christian Andersen as well. There was also stories about little sections. One was called National Aborigines Day, which sounds really awful to our ears, but it is talking about the First Nations people and how important that we consider them and recognise that they were the first peoples, which I think was probably, for some people, the first time they'd ever heard.
Yeah, for the times.
For the times. Yeah. It was probably quite advanced. So it says, you may see how much there is to do before we can really say that we are a free nation.
Mm.
And there's also Earth Day. Earth Week, sorry. And so it's about conservation. So about how not polluting, not dropping rubbish.
So this is in 1972.
And say it says, no living thing exists alone. It is part of a vast web of life bound together by a system of dependence on each other. And it's talking then about things that we know now, which probably a lot of adults didn't recognise then, but children were looking at them in those days. So the stories were much more interesting. There were pictures, a lot more drawings. There were colour, black and white covers for each of the editions, and they cost 4 cents.
4 cents?
4 cents an edition.
So yeah. Did you have to buy the editions? Was that all the way along, or did that come in a little bit later?
No, I think they went to schools. I don't think they were sold in a news agency or anything like that, or on subscription.
Yeah.
Schools got them, and probably the parents were then told, this cough up.
Yes.
48 cents yeah. for the year. But also you had a cardboard folder, and a lot of people remember the cardboard folder.
Yes.
And at the first month, February, there were strings, and you had to attach the strings up and down to allow each of the editions to be put into the cardboard folder.
And February being the first edition.
You got your cardboard folder, your first edition, and a long length of string.
Yeah. And so this magazine, the school magazine, it was produced by the New South Wales Department of Education. But
yes.
Was it in schools here in the ACT, do you know?
Yes, some schools. It went all around Australia, but I think all schools in New South Wales probably used it. But other states and territories, it was their choice if they did or they didn't. And it has also been used overseas as well.
So when you're looking at the 1972 editions, is there still evidence that it was an important part of the school program? Like earlier, you know, it was almost, you could almost imagine kids reading it, you know,
yes.
in class. Was that the same?
Yes. I remember reading it, and because I was a good reader, I used to go ahead, and then the teacher would say, Rowan, can you read now? And I wouldn't know where I was up to, and I was always in trouble for always in trouble for that, because we just read slowly around the class. It was pretty boring, but I love the serials.
And so tell me, bring me up to the present day. How has it changed now?
Well, 2016, it is very colourful.
Oh, yeah.
There are graphic stories in there, a lot of Australian content, but also content from around the world. So it's very multicultural. It has Aesop fables, for example, being retold. There's poems. There's crossword puzzles. There's lots of information. There's probably not as many long stories, though, although there are still a few serials. There's even How to Draw Penguins, an activity by Andrew Joyner, who's illustrated the latest Dr. Seuss book that's just come out.
How to Draw Penguins. There's something I can do to help with my football season withdrawal.
That is something. Or take up watching cricket instead.
Yes.
Which is what I'll do. But a lot of Australian authors that we know now, Alison Lester, Elizabeth Honey, they got their start in this magazine. So it's very colourful. There's lots of information. There's photographs, which really makes a difference. Lots of plays, book reviews, lots of really interesting information. And instead of being for a year level, there's countdown, there's blast off.
So there's different editions for different age groups.
Mm. So starting from about year three through to year six, now you can buy them by subscription, so you don't actually have to get them through your school. But a lot of schools still continue to get these by subscription for their school library. They're probably not as popular now in that there are so many books and magazines available for children to read. But this is a really lovely way for young people, particularly reluctant readers, to get something in the mail once a month, because young people like getting something in the mail.
You do feel special.
Yes. That's not a bill.
Yes.
Nice, simple stories, but they tell their story, the Australian story, and of all the people that have come to Australia, as well as the first people. For example, Sally Morgan and Bronwyn Bancroft have written for these editions as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing I never thought of, Rowan, when you're talking about this. You think, oh, yeah, it's a resource for kids, you know, to help with their reading, but it's also that first step into the industry for people who write Australian children's literature.
Oh, absolutely. So many of them, if you ask them about the school magazine, they will say some of my first works were published there, and for illustrators as well.
Oh, I'll have to have a flick through. Yes. Thanks for telling us about it, Rowan. That is Rowan Simkin.
You.
She is a retired primary school teacher, an avid reader, as you can tell, from a very young age. And she's also with the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature, talking to us today about the school magazine, which is one of the longest running magazines still in print in this country. It started in 1916 and it was produced by the New South Wales Department of Education.